I'm Mark Simpson, and this is Intersection. Orlando Mayor Buddy Dyer is facing three challengers in his bid for re-election next Tuesday. This week on Intersection, we'll hear from two of those challengers in part two of Intersection's conversations with the candidates. Phil Diamond is a 10-year city council member whose fiscal conservatism has put him at odds with the mayor on large expansions like the new Performing Arts Center. Mike Cantone is the youngest mayoral candidate. He's a 20-something community activist and consultant who's been active in Democratic politics. It's conversations with the candidates for Orlando mayor ahead on Intersection. Phil Diamond is a 10-year city council member who's giving up his seat to run for Orlando mayor. Diamond is a fiscal conservative and as a city council member that has put him at odds with incumbent mayor Buddy Dyer on expansion projects like a new performing arts center. Diamond has a background in accounting and as a tax attorney. He joins me on Intersection's Conversations with the Candidates to explain why he should be mayor. Phil Diamond, welcome.
Thank you. Great to be here.
Good to speak to you. So, you're resigning from your city council seat to challenge Orlando Mayor Buddy Dyer, who's got a well-funded campaign and previously won with 61% of the vote in 2008. That seems like a big risk to put your own seat on the line to become Orlando's mayor. Why take that risk?
Well, I think you have to do what you believe in. And I didn't get into government service to keep a job. I came into government service to do what I thought was right. And what I think is right is to change the direction of the city right now, to change our priorities. And I'm running. It's not a personal thing. But quite honestly, I disagree with the mayor. I don't think it's a secret that we've disagreed on a whole number of issues. I disagree with his priorities. I disagree with the way he has spent taxpayer dollars. And I disagree with the way city government has been run. I feel like the mayor has favored his friends. I think he's focused on the wrong things. I think he has cut very bad deals with developers and special interests. And at the end of the day, the net result of all that is it impacts our neighborhoods. It impacts the level of services we all receive from the city. And I think we need to focus on our neighborhoods instead. I think we need to focus on making our city safer. And I think we need to focus on being more financially responsible. And if I could, you mentioned the Performing Arts Center, and that's something that when the 3-for-1 venues deal came up 5 years ago, at the time I said I didn't think we could afford three, especially three at one time.
Let me point out that you were the lone dissenter in last year's vote that made way for that Performing Arts Center. Of course, these plans were years in the making, but you voted against it.
Yeah, I did. Although when the plan first came up to do three of them, I thought we should have focused on the Performing Arts Center first. I thought there was the clearest need there. I thought there was the most community support. And I feel like the Performing Arts Center and, to a lesser extent, the Citrus Bowl were sort of the wrapping paper on the package, and the package was the new basketball arena. And even now, the entire Performing Arts Center is not going to be built. It's not.
They're putting it through in phases, and the plans have been scaled down slightly.
Well, that's right. The original plan was two large halls and one small hall, and phase one is one of the large halls and the small hall. And I felt like at the time in 2007 that we ought to set priorities and be more realistic. And I think as a result, the Performing Arts Center and the Citrus Bowl have both been put in the back of the line.
Is there something wrong with that, though? The Amway Center has gotten a lot of attention. It's gotten good reviews. Big events have been held down there. That seems to point to some success.
It's a nice arena. There's no question about that. It's a nice arena, but I feel like it's a question of priorities, not just amongst the venues, but I think if you look at the operations of the arena, you look at the fact that public money paid for over 80% of the cost of that basketball arena. And according to Forbes magazine, that arena generates an additional $30 million a year in revenues. At the same time, the city is budgeted to lose $618,000 on that arena, which means that we take $618,000 from taxpayer funds and use it to keep the doors open at the arena. And I think, number one, that's wrong, that we're taking money out of things that could be used to pay for more police or for taking care of the roads or all sorts of things that we need to do. And number two, more fundamentally, I think the mayor cut a very bad and financially unfair deal with the Magic. And I think the city should have gotten more. I think the city should be looking at not just breaking even, but making money on the arena, especially with that sort of additional revenue coming in. And that those additional revenues in these days of nobody wants to raise taxes, nobody wants to cut services, that's a third way to accomplish the things that we want to accomplish.
What is that say, though? We were talking about fiscal management. These are long-term deals. And so far, the city of Orlando has fared fairly well. We haven't seen massive layoffs or super huge cutbacks on service. So does that point to Mayor Dyer doing something right?
Well, I think you can drive around the city, and I can point to a number of examples where we've neglected neighborhoods, we've neglected parts of the city. I'd point to North Bumby Avenue. You look at the road surface over there. I'd point to the lack of maintenance on basic things like cutting trees in front of traffic signals and stop signs. We had a debate at Tiger Bay, and I mentioned three or four intersections just in downtown Orlando, one of which is right next to the Performing Arts Center, one of which was Summerlin and Amelia, Summerlin and Robinson, where I said the city's not even doing a good job on doing that, and that's a safety issue. And I think the larger issue is, you know, not just the arena, but then the second deal to sell the building across from the arena to the Magic in a no bid situation. I don't think somebody would sell their house without trying to get more than one bid. And I think we should have been looking at, are there better ways to do this? Is there a better price we can get? Is there a way we can share in revenues from something that might be built there, instead of just saying we've got one person that, or one entity that wants to do it, and we should sell to them? And maybe they are the best, and if they are the best, then fine. But I think we at least should have asked those questions.
You're listening to Intersections, Conversations with the Candidates on 90.7 WMFE-FM, Orlando. I'm Mark Simpson, speaking with Orlando mayoral candidate Phil Diamond. Who do you support in the Orlando mayor's race? You can tell us on Facebook or Twitter, or shoot an email to intersection@wmfe.org. Phil Diamond, you also support job creation incentives for businesses. I wonder, could you explain that a little bit more? Would these be similar to incentives approved recently by the Florida legislature, or what do you have in mind?
Well, I think there come times when to create jobs or when to bring companies to Orlando, you need to do that. That is something I wouldn't do lightly. It is something I've supported in the past, and I think we've had a pretty good consensus on the city council and among local areas. You know, I supported the incentives for Medical City, and I think that was something that—
Which is an area that your district currently covers.
Correct. And I thought that it was more important than just my district, though. I thought it was more about trying to change the economy, because I think our economy, one of the big problems with our economy, I think, is that the economy has been so dependent on just a few industries, tourism, real estate, construction. And when those industries have issues, it has a huge impact. And I thought, and I still think, it's important to diversify, create jobs, and try to raise the level of income in the community.
You mentioned at the beginning not being happy with that deal with the Orlando Magic and being concerned about services being cut back. In terms of revenue and trying to maintain what is already here, would you be trying to readdress that deal with the Magic, or where would you find revenue to provide services that have been cut back?
Well, I think you look at how you do business, you do deals. You know, that's one thing that I think the mayor's fallen short on, and I think he's made a number of bad decisions that I've disagreed with. I disagreed with his continual effort to subsidize luxury condominiums downtown. I think when you look at all the projects that he agreed to subsidize, every single one of them either went into bankruptcy, went through foreclosure, or never even got off the ground. So I think part of it is just being able to recognize these things when they come along.
But when you've got a deal that's already been made and you try to go back and change it, you run the risk of upsetting whoever that business partner is. someone like the Magic. You know, there's a concern if you don't play along with them that they'll leave town and go somewhere else, and then you're stuck with the arena or something like that. So how do you tread lightly in those areas?
Well, I think let's make sure we're on the same page, Mark, because I think you know when I talked about doing deals, obviously it's one thing about new deals that come along, new ideas that come along, how you approach it. I think as far as deals that are existing that you have contracts for, the city has to honor contracts.
Don't touch them.
Well, I mean, just because you have a new mayor doesn't mean that the city doesn't have to follow the contract. If you have a contract, you have to live with it. And I think you can look at contracts that were entered into not just in the past 9 years but before that you might disagree with. But, you know, I'm an attorney. I'm a tax attorney. And if you have a contract, you have to, you know, go into it with the idea, or you have to accept the idea that you're supposed to honor a contract.
Still, though, as a mayor, we saw, for example, Teresa Jacobs putting the brakes on some funding that was supposed to go through with the Performing Arts Center. The Orlando mayor also has some powers to try to change the situation. Would that be something you would consider using as mayor?
It depends on the situation. It depends, you know, it depends on how things develop. You know, I think as far as basic principles, contracts are contracts. I think, though, that over time, you know, when people that you have contracts with have other ideas or other proposals, I think it's reasonable to look at them all in context and certainly have that discussion.
You know, we've got four candidates in this mayoral race, and that likely means that no one's going to get more than 50% of the vote and there will be a runoff election. Are you ready for that?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think it'll be a chance for the voters to learn more and hear more about the issues, and for the candidates to talk about the issues, ideas, and for people to really focus on the election.
I also want to ask you, there's been a lot of attention focused on neighborhood watch programs, neighborhood patrols, given the situation that's been unfolding up in Sanford. You support expanding Orlando's Citizen Patrol program, which uses volunteers to help police fight neighborhood crime, and you've also proposed using volunteers in the same way to help the city's code enforcement department. So has seeing the way the situation's unfolded in Sanford changed at all your view of how you might want to use volunteers in various capacities, whether they be crime or enforcing other city mandates?
Well, I think when you talk about using volunteers, I think you need to make sure that they're used appropriately. I think that you know, the kind of thing where you're talking about in Sanford wouldn't have occurred with a citizen on patrol volunteer that is used, or that is part of the program that is run by the Orlando Police Department, because those people don't carry guns. They're supposed to patrol. They're supposed to be out in neighborhoods. If they see something suspicious, they're supposed to call 911 or call the police department or call whoever should be called. And I think that's a good use of their time. I think that helps stretch city resources, and I think it helps create more of a police presence, and I think it helps keep neighborhoods safer. As far as code enforcement, they certainly wouldn't carry any kind of weapons, and what they do, it might be something as simple as helping out in the office. It might be something that involves driving through neighborhoods to make sure that things are the way they should be. But I don't think we'd have that kind of situation with those volunteers either.
10 years on the Orlando City Commissioner, we've been speaking with Orlando mayoral candidate Phil Diamond, who is hoping to unseat incumbent Buddy Dyer. Phil Diamond, thanks so much for your time.
Thanks. I enjoyed being here.
Up next on Intersection, mayoral candidate Mike Cantone discusses why he wants an east-west running rail system in Orlando. Mike Cantone is the youngest candidate for Orlando mayor. He's a 20-something community activist and consultant. Cantone does have an active history in Democratic politics, though. He worked on congressional and local campaigns and has been a member of the Orange County Democratic Executive Committee. He also was an intern for Senator Hillary Clinton. Cantone joins me on Intersections Conversations with the Candidates to explain why he should unseat Buddy Dyer as Orlando Mayor. Mike Cantone, welcome.
Yeah, thanks for having me here.
Great to speak to you. So you're fairly new to Orlando. You grew up in New York and Virginia, went to St. Louis University, studied abroad in Belgium, and also interned in the U.S. Senate for Hillary Clinton, as we mentioned. But you've also had political experience in Georgia. So with that kind of breadth, why Orlando, and why do you think you want to be mayor?
Yeah, Orlando's really become my home in my community. One thing that jumps out at me that I love is the diversity, the talent, the fact that we celebrate our differences here, and the potential that Orlando offers. But as you can see, I made Orlando home 4 years ago during the 2008 elections. And after 9/11, for most of my family, Central Florida has become home for all of us, both here in Orlando, out to the Tampa area.
Mm-hmm. Now, getting into some political issues, policy issues, you mm-hmm. are, of course, facing off with Orlando Mayor Buddy Dyer. Why do you think that he needs to be replaced?
Yeah, first and foremost, I think Orlando suffers from absent leadership right now. For too long, I've seen here in the city too many communities pushed aside, left behind. And I'm the only candidate that can offer the generational leadership change that we truly need to put the people first and move the city forward.
You know, Buddy Dyer supports the Creative Village downtown in Orlando at the site of the old Amway Arena. That's a development with offices, retail, mm-hmm. and housing. You said that you oppose going forward with this development and suggest building a green space, a big park. How come?
I do. Well, most of the cities that I've traveled to, that I love, that I enjoy, and that are world-class cities, embrace the green space. And here in Orlando, we have so much to benefit from it, both our weather, our climate, the people, the population. And this is also something that everyone can enjoy. But more importantly, on Creative Village, I would scrap this project because I don't believe we need more luxury housing, more commercial development at a time where one in five of our homes are facing foreclosure. 20% vacancy rate in commercial space downtown. It's time to shift our priorities away from big business, away from the Chamber of Commerce, and invest directly in the people.
How does creating a large green space do that when you've already got a big amenity, for example, Lake Eola downtown?
Lake Eola is a great centerpiece of our city. It long has been. But my other point there is that it's not really a park. You can't do much there except walk around the path. And again, I also feel that Creative Village isn't the best investment for our dollars right now. When you're talking about the largest space available left to the city, I don't think it's a wise investment to sell this for pennies on the dollar to large developers.
You take a look at big investments. That's a theme in your campaign. And of course, Buddy Dyer, very ambitious, sometimes been criticized for being too ambitious, pushing expansion on projects like SunRail, or the new medical city out at Lake Nona. And Buddy Dyer is framed himself as trying to develop Orlando into a more cosmopolitan city during his nearly 10 years in office. So how does that vision differ from Mayor Dyer?
Yeah, I mean, I'm a progressive, but I'm a pragmatic progressive. And the same way that you and I can't spend unlimited amounts of money out of our wallets, we can't charge up our credit cards. Unfortunately, the city can't do that either. And we're talking over $1 billion of investments in recent years with the Amway Arena, the Performing Arts Center, which is already going over budget. Creative Village, the untold cost already, we're talking $2-3 million that we were told would not happen just to demolish the building. We're simply not living in our means. And I think that's why you're seeing so many empty retail spaces, empty housing spaces. Yes, the mayor has said we doubled our skyline, but what have we doubled it with? More empty buildings. I don't think that benefits anyone. And it also hampers future progress for the city of Orlando when these investments don't make sense and we keep going over budget.
So say you're elected mayor. A lot of these deals are already in motion. And if you were elected, you would have to deal with it. What would you do?
Yeah, well, unfortunately, we have to, you know, we have to support what's been done. Same with SunRail, another project that I've been against because it doesn't actually benefit or connect our communities in need east-west. I will fulfill the obligations that we've negotiated in good faith. That is part of leadership. But I will also be a watchdog for the taxpayers, and I'll provide more citizen accountability like we've seen Mayor Jacobs at the county level do.
Of course, many people have made that observation about SunRail not going in the east-west directions. Mm-hmm. Part of that involved in the way the deal came together, wanting to use existing tracks that That's ran right. north-south that were owned by the rail line CSX. So what would you do to spark an east-west light rail or something along those lines? How would you pay for it, and where would it go?
Well, first and foremost, we need to move to a dedicated funding mechanism for the Lynx bus system. Ridership is up now more than it was 4 years ago. Yet if you look at the budget, it's been slashed in the past 4 years. We're just now hearing from our leaders like Mayor Dyer that this is a crisis, when in fact, it's been a crisis for years.
So what's the dedicated funding source?
I'd like to work with county leaders. I'd also look at using 1 cent out of our local sales option tax to dedicate to that. But I also think we can come up with creative solutions using possible tax on cigarettes with the county, as well as looking at funding mechanisms. We need these leaders to put the dollars first. Both the mayor of Orlando, the mayor of Orange County do fund these, but not dedicated. We can come up with a long-term plan so that the system can actually operate and know what they're expected by the end of the year.
Talking about education a little bit and also business, you propose a $100,000 grant to spur local small businesses. You've also talked about creating a $20,000 college scholarship program for school children. If elected mayor, how would you pay for this in today's economy when we've seen things like public works being cut back and we also, as you mentioned, are struggling to find a permanent funding source for the public transit we have, like the Lynx bus system?
Yeah, well, I'm glad you asked about my small business advisory panel. This would take $5 million out of our $347 million budget. And I just want to be clear, this is the same amount that's allocated to pay for sidewalks for SunRail. So you're not talking a lot of investment here. And then
is that a same source of funding?
It's from the general budget. I would look at it from the general budget. And I believe that this is the priority we need to take. I will shift funds away from the Chamber of Commerce. You saw just a few weeks ago, the city council led by Mayor Dyer approved $63,000 to be given to the Chamber of Commerce for a business training that's not even planned yet. These are funds that should be directed directly to local entrepreneurs here in the city limits, not big corporations. And I would model my small business plan after President Obama's Small Business Administration, where we go around the banks, collect RFP, work with local business entrepreneurs to plug them into the UCF incubator, which has a high success rate, as you know. And they would have to take existing commercial space so that we're filling the empty space we already have, not creating more. Through that, you'll see us transform the local economy in year one, diversifying our economy and bringing in more than just these minimum wage, low wage jobs, but creating strong middle class small businesses for our community.
You're listening to Intersection on 90.7 WMFE-FM. I'm talking with Orlando mayoral candidate Mike Cantone on Intersection's Conversations with the Candidates. I'm Mark Simpson. Who are you supporting in Orlando's mayor's race? You can tell us on Facebook or Twitter or send an email over to intersection@WMFE.org. You're also the only mayoral candidate who does not support a medical city in Lake Nona. You say Orlando lacks an educated workforce for those jobs. So how do you fix that?
Well, and I don't think that I'm necessarily against it. What I've been pointing out on the campaign trail is the lack of leadership that we've seen in this program. You'll hear Mayor Dyer toss out numbers like 30,000 jobs will come thanks to Medical City. But my point is, if that's the case, then we should have been working to build this workforce for years before the construction started. And then if you think about our community right now, the transportation problems, the education problems that we've touched on earlier, do we have the infrastructure for 30,000 new jobs? Do we have the homes, the traffic system? That's not been proven the case right now. I'm also worried that this means we're pulling in employees and corporations from out of state, out of city, instead of really tapping into the diverse talent that makes Orlando the city beautiful. And this is why I feel we need to work more towards vocational retraining centers. This is another platform issue of mine, along with Vienna Avalares in District 2. I'd like to see us work more with the unions, more with business owners in town, so that we're providing trainings that actually have waiting jobs on the other end.
Talk to me a little bit more about Medical City. In terms of bringing in new businesses, that's how cities grow. And, of course, you want to be able to expand those educational initiatives. But the jobs are going to be coming online soon. How would you work to create an educational system that would be able to supply jobs or supply workers in time to fill those jobs as they come online? That sounds like a short time frame.
Well, and it's going to be a very short time frame thanks to the leadership we currently have. I think that this ties directly into my Orlando Promise education plan that you noted in the previous question. And one of these reasons that I'm pushing this is it's modeled after the successful program out of the Pittsburgh Promise. The Pittsburgh mayor was the youngest mayor at the time when he implemented this program. What it ended up doing was keeping people within the city limits, providing the opportunity for children to go to college for these specialties that we are building industries in our city. And again, so they don't have to finish their education and leave the the state, they have the education, the background, and the resources needed to jump right into these jobs. But we will need to shift directions as soon as possible because we're not growing that workforce right now. And that's my other problem with Creative Village. Again, you know, here's a major development downtown with no forward thinking of how do we build this workforce before we start construction.
Mike Cantone, you are also, along with mayoral candidate Phil Diamond, advocating for term limits of two full terms for the mayor and city commissioners. Buddy Dyer, of course, served close to 10 years now. So why exactly do you think that this is a good idea, and how would that change politics?
Yeah, unfortunately, I think the city of Orlando needs term limits right now because our leaders are not cultivating the leadership of tomorrow. And what we're seeing in this zone election right now is Mayor Dyer has launched a super PAC, collecting hundreds of thousands of dollars outside of the normal contribution limits. His campaign already has spent over $250,000 directly on this race. And the state party has gotten involved paying for his mailers. So I think that we need term limits to level the playing field so that every resident, every child in this city can imagine growing up, taking leadership and changing the direction of this city. Right now, we don't have a level playing field. And the fact is the system does promote the incumbents winning time and time again. And that is what creates the detachment from our leaders to our residents. And I also feel that that's why in a city of 250,000 people, you're seeing these major mayoral elections being decided by 10 or 15,000 votes. That has to change. The way we change that is by engaging more of the community, opening up the avenues for more people to get involved, both electorally, politically, but also engaged in the city hall process. I'd like to see us open up our city council meetings. I'd like to see more back and forth like this from our leaders at the city council meetings. You know, one of the many times I've been down over the past few months, you ask any question, you don't get a response, even basic yes or no answers. That's not how you build relationships.
Are you saying that if you were offered support from a state political party in your campaign, you would turn it down?
I'm not saying necessarily I turn it down, but I don't think I'd make it the basis of my campaign, and I've never made money the focus of my race. It's always about the people, the residents, and, you know, if it benefits my community, of course I'd look into it. But no, these races should be run on the interests of the people here in Orlando, not in Tallahassee.
We've seen numerous candidates also talking about the crime prevention initiatives that are active in Orlando, including Orlando's Citizens on Patrol program. Commissioner Diamond proposes using volunteers in a similar way to help with city code enforcement. What do you think both about that idea of using volunteers, neighborhood watches in Orlando, especially when they're getting so much attention after what happened up in Sanford? And what do you think about that idea of using volunteers for code enforcement?
Yeah, for code enforcement, I think we need consistency, honestly. At the end of the day, we've seen over the past year or two that it's not being enforced across the board. And with the recent troubles in Sanford with the Trayvon Martin shooting and the vigilante status of some of these people self-anointing these titles, we need to be careful and make sure that the training is there before we start putting volunteers out there.
I've been speaking with Orlando mayoral candidate Mike Cantone on Intersections Conversations with the Candidates. Mike, thanks for your time.
Oh, thanks so much.
The conversation about what's happening in Florida continues online at the Florida Talks blog. Visit WMFE.org/intersection to find out more. There you can listen to past interviews with Orlando mayoral candidates Buddy Dyer and challenger Ken Mulvaney. And you can also sign up for our weekly podcast. Support for Intersection comes from our listeners. Amy Green is assistant producer. I'm Mark Simpson, and thanks for listening. I'm